And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I'm just so glad to be here. As Minnie Pearl would say something similar to that back in her Grand Ole Opry days, but we are thankful that you have tuned in today to WMIE 91.5 FM, and specifically into the Refresh Radio program, a ministry of Merit Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. My name's Bob Arthurs. I'm the pastor there, and we are going to be looking at Romans chapter 7 today. We're going through the Sermon on the Mount. We're specifically in the Lord's Prayer right now, and the topic, deliver us from evil, deliver us from evil. And today we're going to be working our way in Romans chapter 7. We started this on yesterday's program, I believe it was, when we started. And we're working our way through that. We might have started the day before. My days all fly together. But we're working our way towards the very end of chapter 7 here today. And we're talking about the buildup to Paul's plea in verse number 24. Verse number 24 says, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" So that's where we're working. We're going to take our time to get through Romans chapter 7. We're talking about in verse number 6 on yesterday's program, "But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we would serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter." So that's a deliverance that has already taken place. And now we're going to work towards this this very important question that Paul asks, "Who shall deliver me? Who shall deliver me?" And so that's where we're headed today. Want to let you know we're in the midst of some beautification projects that are going on. I don't know if you've ever made a decision, and after you made that decision, you looked at it and said, "That was a bad decision." But back in 1996, we put a floor down in the fellowship hall, and I thought that the floor that we picked, that we were going to be able to make that shine like Publix and shine like Target, you know, look down at that thing and be able to see your reflection. And I discovered that that wasn't happening at Merritt Assembly of God. And so over the years, we have spent a lot of money, you know, stripping and waxing and stripping and waxing and stripping and waxing. And so we have... And I distinctly remember a person, this was long before we had got to do much to the inside of the sanctuary, and a lady said, "Pastor, why don't we put, you know, some tile down?" And I said, "Well, if we did that, this building would outclass the other." And she said, "You know, we got to start someplace." And so, Sandy, if you're listening out there any place, where we are upgrading the tiling in the fellowship hall. We started in a bathroom, and now we're working our way through the main structure of the building. But it's a beautification process. Merit Assembly of God is a beautification project that is 26 and a half years in the making. And someone told me a long time ago that if you pastor a church long enough, you get to redo stuff that you've already done. And that's kind of where we are now. But I am confident of this. This floor is going to be a whole lot nicer and a whole lot less work than that last flooring was. And so we're really excited about the upgrades that are taking place there and all that God is doing at Merritt Assembly of God. We've got some scheduling issues that are coming up. We are going to be having on June the 30th, our fifth Sunday potluck church dinner, and those things are fantastic. We're going to be doing that after the morning service. There won't be any evening service. That is also the week of July the 4th. It is also the week that our kids will be going to camp, and so we're not going to have a midweek service that week, which would be July the 3rd, and we will also not be having our intercessory prayer meeting on Thursday morning, July the 4th. So you can pay attention to those schedule changes, and we're looking forward to all that God has in store for us as we refresh ourselves so that we can go ahead with the ministry with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind in the coming week. So with that being said, let's get back into Romans chapter 7. I want to begin reading today in verse number 7. It says, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, 'You shall not covet.' But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire, for apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment, which was to bring life, I found to bring death, for sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me and by it killed me. Therefore, the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good." So I'm going to start right there. We're going to stop the reading right there. And I want to share with you some truths here. And all of this is building up towards verses 21 through 25. That's where we're building. But if we just go to the verse and if we miss the buildup, we're not going to understand the point of conflict that is going on there. There won't be an appropriate appreciation for the context, for the intensity, and why Paul had ended up in the situation that he did. So let me take you to verse number 8, and I want to point out to you that sin will take every opportunity that it is provided. In verse number 8, it says this, "But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire, for apart from the law, sin was dead." So I say this, sin will take every opportunity you give it. If you position yourself for temptation, the devil will be more than happy to oblige by providing a temptation for you. If you provide an opportunity to give in to that temptation, the devil will be more than happy to take advantage of that situation. And, sin is always craving more, more, more. It will take advantage of every opportunity. Don't you wish that we as believers would have that mindset when it comes to ministry? Wouldn't it be great if we never missed an opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ? Wouldn't it be great if we never missed an opportunity to pray? I know I've had missed opportunities. You've had missed opportunities. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we never missed an opportunity to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? It would be phenomenal if we had the kind of track record serving God that sin has in trying to derail us from living up to our full potential in God. So the message that I want to start off with today is this. Don't provide sin with opportunities. Because if you provide an opportunity, if you provide access, I can tell you that the devil will be more than happy to take that opportunity and exploit it and use it against you in the future. You start making opportunities for sin, and one of these days you are going to find that opportunity that is utilized by sin is going to bring a great deal of reproach and a great deal of challenges in your life. There are There are too many casualties in the body of Christ, not because of, you know, other people. I mean, there are casualties there as well, but there are too many casualties that are self-inflicted because we make an opportunity for sin. I bear in my body a scar of when I provided sin an opportunity in my life. That was not God's fault. It was my fault. And so I want to encourage you, do not provide opportunities. You want to at best minimize those opportunities, and you want to learn how to shut the door on those opportunities and make opportunity for God instead. Verse number 8 also describes how sin will produce in us all manner of evil desires. And so whenever sin takes advantage of that opportunity and begins to interact with us, he is not going to, or sin is not going to stand idly by just as an occupant of the room, but will begin to work on the inside of us. We'll begin to work on your heart, on your mind. We'll begin to corrupt your desires. And it says it will produce all manner of evil desires. You might think that it's just a singular desire, but I'm telling you that if sin is granted access, it is going to try and work its way into every area of your life. Sin will try and work its way into your thought life. Sin will try and work its way into your daily life. Sin will try and work its way into your finances. Sin will try and produce all sorts of evil desires where it comes to your relationships, where it comes to your employment. Sin is looking to change the desires that you have for God and make them desires for evil instead of good. So our original text is deliver us from evil, or deliver us from the evil one. And I want you to understand that that means that he's going to deliver us from that. He wants to separate us from the opportunity that sin has to influence us and produce desires in us that God knows they aren't healthy, they're not righteous, and they're not holy for us. They're not in our best interest. So we need God to deliver us from that. So say, God, shut the door. You know, I don't want that opportunity. And so one of the strategies that I tell people is if you are dealing with temptations in a certain area, don't play with that. Eliminate access to that from your life. And I don't care to what extreme you have to go to. You know, whether that means that you eliminate things from your phone, that might mean that you eliminate things from your computer. That means that you might eliminate things from your television. It might mean that you eliminate things from your radio. There, if you are tempted in a certain area, it might mean that you eliminate some things from your refrigerator. It might mean you eliminate some things from your shopping cart when you go to the grocery store. It might mean that you eliminate some things from your wallet. There are a lot of different places, and sin really doesn't care which one he works on first. You have to understand that sin wants to permeate the entirety of your being, and so we cannot afford to grant sin opportunities to have access into our lives to produce things in us that are not going to be pleasing and acceptable to God. Okay? We just can't do that. And so this week we had some tile, and I got to thinking about this after the tile. I think it was after the tile was delivered. It might have been before. But I can tell you this. We had to do a whole lot of work to prepare for a delivery that was coming. There were things that needed to be moved. There were things that needed to be cleaned. There were some things that needed to be discarded. And after, you know, a little bit of furniture moving on Sunday, thank you to the men of the church for helping in that, and the young men of the church, we were able to accomplish that in a relatively short period of time. But then there was some other stuff that needed to be done on Monday morning before the delivery came. And I said, God, you know, we as believers, we need to do some preparation in ourselves and say, God, you know, get rid of anything that needs to be discarded. You know, let's move some things out of the way so that we can make room for what you want to deliver to us. And so I just want to share that with you today. And so verse number 11, let's look at that one today. It says, for sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me and by it killed me. So this is what will happen whenever sin gets the opportunity to operate in your life. Not only will it produce evil desires, but it will take every opportunity, every occasion that the law provides it, and it's going to bring deception into your life. Now, let me tell you, even though I have really tried to live a godly life, there have been some times in my life where I wasn't successful, and I'm going to reveal to you the strategy that the devil would use in those occasions, and that was he would try and get me to rationalize behavior that wasn't what God wanted in my life. Okay? If you ever find yourself trying to explain away why what you're wanting to do, okay, think back of what we just talked about. Sin provides all manner of, or produces all manner of evil desires. When our desires don't match up with the Word of God and our mind starts trying to work overtime to rationalize a behavior that is contrary to the Word of God, you know that that's not God working in that situation. That is sin taking the opportunity to try and deceive us. That's his oldest play, is to take the Word of God and distort it, try and rationalize behavior contrary to what God had instructed, and then will leave us to deal with the consequences. Okay? I don't know if you ever had a situation in your life where somebody would come in and they'd say, we're in this together, we're in this together, and all of a sudden you do something you're going to get in trouble for, and that person is gone before you ever get found out. And when you get found out, it's like you're sitting there holding the vessel all by yourself, and sin's like, wasn't me. You know, and all the time sin had been whispering into your ear, let's do this. This life is going to be so much better doing it this way rather than God's way. Can you say this with me? That's deception. God, deliver us from deception. Deliver us from the deception of sin. Deliver us from the deception of the enemy. The Bible talks about that in the last days, that there are going to be deceiving spirits that are in operation on the earth. And so we, by the Holy Spirit, have been granted as one of the gifts of the Spirit that we have access to the gift of the discerning of spirits. And so you and I, we are privileged to have the Holy Spirit reveal and disclose to us when there is a spiritual dynamic that is taking place, but it is not going to result in holiness. It's going to result in sin. Okay. That deception is designed to do one thing, and that is this: for sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it, killed me. Okay? Solomon, when writing the book of Proverbs, talks about the seductress or the enticing woman. By the way, that could be a man trying to seduce a woman. It's not just a gender role specific. You can be victimized as a lady. You can be victimized as a man. The devil is indiscriminate, and he will use whatever tool is necessary. And I will tell you this: the goal of that deception, something is going to die, and Satan's ultimate goal is for us to die in the process. It might not be a physical death that takes place right then, but it might be the death of a relationship. It might be the death of a job. It might be the destruction of your finances. It may be the death of your ministry. It might be the death of a lot of different things going on. But please understand, Jesus came that you and I might have life and have it more abundantly. But the devil comes, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So making an opportunity for the law of sin and death to operate in our lives could have lethal consequences for us. We do not want to open that door. Okay? Let me just throw this out there, and that is this. I've heard other people say this, so I'm just passing along what I've heard. There are so many phone scams that are going on right now. I don't know if you get as many illegal or unwelcomed, unsolicited phone calls as I do, but I hardly get any legitimate phone calls on my home phone. I get a whole lot of scammer calls, and now people are telling you that if you do not recognize the name or the number of the person that is calling you, don't answer it. And so if I do answer it, I do not use my legitimate voice. I do not even use my legitimate language. Because many times they are recording things. Don't ever say the word yes whenever, you know, you answer the phone. One of the scams that is out there, when they call, it says, "Hi, I'm calling on a recorded line. Can you hear me okay?" And the thing that they want to get you to do is to say yes. And so when they say, "Can you hear me okay?" click. You know, that's the way that it goes down. So don't ever agree to anything on one of those scammer phone calls, because it's not designed to work out well for you. Let me just say this. If someone is calling you trying to get you to do business with them, and you haven't called them and sought them out, they're seeking you out, they don't have your best interest at heart. I would say the largest percentage of the time, they don't have your best interest at heart. So just a little bit of warning out there, because I don't want to give anyone I don't want to give any scammer an opportunity to deceive you. A friend of mine got a phone call, and this is in another part of the country. And she's so funny. And so she answered the phone, and the person's voice on the other end of the phone said, "Grandma, is that you?" And she said, well, and named the grandchild. I don't remember what the child's name was, and said, is this you?" And he said, "Yes." And, "Grandma, I've fallen in love, or I've fallen in trouble with the law in a certain state, and they said that I can get out of trouble if you will just send me some money." And she said, "Well, okay, But before I send you the money, there's a few questions I want to ask you. The first question I want to ask you is, you are only 2 or 3 years old, or 4 years old, I don't know how, but not even old enough to go to school. What are you doing in that state all by yourself? The second question is, you don't even know my phone number. How in the world are you calling me? Third question, your father is a lawyer. Why didn't you call him? And that person just clicked up on the phone. You see, she wasn't going to give them the opportunity to deceive her, because she already knows the truth. The Bible says that if we abide in God, if we abide in Jesus and his words abide in us, that we will know the truth and the truth will set us free. Now, I've told you what had happened to me in the past, that there was this rationalization of trying to work some sort of spiritual legal loophole around. And I want you to know that I am not alone in having experienced that in my past. I don't want you to fall prey to that temptation, because it's not worth it. It is not worth it. Don't give sin any opportunity, because sin will take advantage of every opportunity that it's provided. Once provided an opportunity, it's going to produce a whole slew of evil desires in you. You might think it's isolated to one category, but believe me, it wants to work its way through the entirety of your being. And the next is that sin will take every occasion that you give it, and it will deceive you, and its goal is to bring a wave of death and destruction in your life. Do not let that happen. You know what Paul says in verse number 12? The law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. In other words, there isn't any need for a loophole here. God is working exactly the way that he wants to. When he tells you no, celebrate. When he says do something, celebrate it. God is good. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.